I want to start with the mechanical, but as time goes on in my life, I realize that the genius of how Shas is written is stunning. What I mean to say is the following. Shas is a combination of halachas and agadas. And there's a reason for that. We could have written another sefer of Midrashim too. Take all the agadas out of Shas and make a big pile of agadas, another sefer agadas, you know. But that was not the intention of Chazal. If you look carefully, the agadas and each mesechta belong in that mesechta. They shed light. They're inevitably, Shas, you know, spins from Indian to Indian because of the connection with the person that said it or some topical similarity. But the basic thrust that the agadas and the mesechta have to do with the mesechta and shed light at a deeper level on the halachas. And Chazal teach us by this that mitzvahs should never be dry and perfunctory, but rather we should have deep insight into what we're trying to do with this mitzvah. And that's why the halachas are laced with our goddess for that reason, to provide us an insight into what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants of us with this particular halacha, with this particular mitzvah. And there are two steps. It's from the Maisa mitzvah that we do, but we have to connect the Maisa mitzvah with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's step number one. And that oftentimes the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gets lost in the details of the mitzvah. You know, the Estrog is Mahudar, the Lulav is Lamahadrin, Menamahadrin, but there's no Eivishta. We forgot about that this is Avodas Hashem. And the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah is extremely critical of this, that if a person does mitzvahs, but not for the sake of serving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that he's far off course, far off course. It's questionable how much schar a person will get for such mitzvahs altogether. So we're not totally that bad. We do make a brocha, brocha to Hashem, Hashem Yisrael v'Yisrael. So we do have in mind at some level that it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But beyond the general statement that it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the insight that we need to have in the mitzvah or where we're going. Now that's also at different levels. As I'm fond of saying, in Cheder, so we learned, the Rabbeim told us in Cheder that mitzvahs, they're chukim and they're mishpotim. Right? So mitzvahs that are civil laws, fundamental to all of human society, theft, murder, etc. These are fundamentals, a system of courts and adjudication. And then there are mitzvahs that we call chukim, which we don't readily understand what their role is. And consequently, they remain unique to Klal Yisrael. And the Belgian parliament has not enacted Shatnez as one of their laws. It's a tachayk. We're sure that there's a purpose for it, but from our perception, it remains the purpose is to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But as far as much as our Cheder Rebbeim told us in that regard was correct, but it was only a chatzi tshuva. They left out, really, one-third. Not chatzi, one-third. Because in the Haggadah of Pesach, as we'll all recall, quotes a pasuk from Chumash Dvarim by the question of the Chacham, Moha Eido Yisvachukim HaMishpotim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. So the Chacham had the Torah not in two parts, but in three parts. Eido Yisvachukim HaMishpotim. And Eidos particularly demand of us. Eidos means connection with the great philosophical notions are the great historical events in the history of Klal Yisrael. That's Eidos, testimonies. And when we do Eidos, according to the Ramban, it's clear. The Ramban, at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, that it's necessary to be focused on what the reasons are, why we're doing it. The Ramban, in that context, tells us that when we say that Kol Shaloi Omar Shloisha Dvorim Eilu Pesach or Pesach Matzah LeYotzi Yidei Chavoso, in other words, he didn't do a mitzvah. Not that he's not Yotzi, but not at the highest level. So, unlike the Rambam, the question is LeYotzi Yidei Chavoso of what? What mitzvah are we talking to? Very nice. It wasn't Yotzi the mitzvah. Which mitzvah? So the Rambam says clearly in the Yad that it's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban, in the beginning of Masechta Brachos, and the Marshal in Arei Pesachim, say that one hasn't fulfilled Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim properly. So it's not a din in the matzah, but it's every, if it's a mitzvah, it's a din in, we have, whenever we approach a mitzvah, which is for Eidos, we have to explore its reason. So he learns, the Rambam learns it in Schiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the, he learns, the Ramban rather, I'm sorry, I put it in properly, it's the Rambam Shita, it's in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Ramban, I haven't fulfilled Pesach Matzah Moro properly. That's what I haven't fulfilled properly in the Ramban Shita. So from the Ramban, we see it as a general obligation, which by all Eidos, to explore the reason for it, and that's a necessary part of the Kiyum. The Bach suggested such an idea in the beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, and the first Siman, in connection with three mitzvahs, where it says Leman, of Sukkah, of Tzitzis, and of Tefillin. But the Ramban in the beginning of Brachos has a much more expansive view than all Eidos in this way. So, in general, there's such an inyan that we should understand the where we're going with the mitzvah, and particularly when the mitzvah is to connect with a great philosophical or historical event in Klal Yisrael, we certainly have to know where the mitzvah goes. And Chaim Soloveitchik writes that one thing we have to be careful about, we start learning when we're very young, and Baruch Hashem, it's really the only full chinuch that exists is the chinuch that a person learns by assimilation. One's parents didn't give you a big lesson about what Hanukkah was about. They took out the Hanukkah relaters and they lit them and they made a brocha. You know what Hanukkah was without a big, they didn't give you a big story about it to teach you. It was integrated by osmosis. Now, but the Chovas HaLavavos Mus, so that's a very, very good tashtit, a very good basis for a chinuch. But there's a problem with that chinuch too. And that problem is that we sometimes remain the notion that I had when I was 5 years old or 10 years old, when I'm 60 and 70, I still have the same cup, the Hanukkah. So the Chovas HaLavavos warns us that we have to go back as we mature in life and revisit the things that we learned earlier, and bring them up to the maturity level where we're at now, not to leave them with the notions of earlier in life, which is inconsistent with where our general thinking presently. So from that standpoint, I wanted to take a look at, Hanukkah. And a theme of Hanukkah, which is apparent, but yet we don't focus on it because there's a lot that we have to do until we get there. But we'll start. This much we should do tonight. There's a lot more, but this part we should be able to do tonight. The parsha this past Shabbos is one of the greatest mysteries of Chumash. And none of us believe that Yitzchak was that benighted that he could actually think that Esav was his son, the Tzaddik. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, the Torah gives a basic description on which Yitzchak lived with. That he had one son, Yaakov, was Ish Tom Yosheva Holim, that never parted from his side and learned Yom Velayla. That was his life. And he had another son who was a man of the world. Not evil, but a man of the world. He was involved in hunting. He was involved sometimes in military adventures. He was involved in agriculture. He was a man of the world. Nobody has to say there has to be evil. Forget that. There's not the question of if he had an evil streak to him. But you have two people. You come to town, right? And there's the president of the shul. He's an accomplished businessman. Whatever. Erlich Yitz. And then you have the Rav that learns Yom Velayla and Paskins the Shaila. So, now, you want to know where the buck stops, so you understand, listen, it's nice that we have a Rosh HaKol and Erlich HaYid, fine, but listen, the Rav is the Rav. I mean, it's that simple. So you don't have to have caught on to the Rishis that there was an evil streak to Esau, so you don't know about that. But one son is obviously is burning up the tracks in learning, and the other one is a God's finer yid, as far as you're concerned, but he's a man of the world. So it's obvious, listen, in terms of the leadership of the Kehillah, who's the head, is you know who the Rav is, so what's the Shaila? So what did Yitzchak want? We're giving brachas to Esav. So the happens to be the Malbim and the Sforno, and there are others too. If one analyzes the parasha carefully, I believe the Sforno does so in his analysis to prove this. There are three times that Yitzchak gave brachas in the parasha, starting from Vihit and Lechot. The first time he thinks he's giving a bracha to Esav, but in fact he's giving a bracha to Yaakov. The second time Esav shows up and pounds on the table, he wants a bracha. So Yitzchak gives him a bracha, which approximates that of the first bracha that he gave, except that it's dependent in Torah that uforakto ulo me'al tzavarecha, he's in charge, but if he messes up, so you can step in. And the third time, Yitzchak is giving a bracha to Yaakov, and he knows it's Yaakov. Now, when does he convey Birchas Avram, which means the legacy of Avram Avinu, and when does he convey the title to Eretz Yisrael? It's only the third time. So if he really thought that Esav was the foremost of his sons, then obviously he should have given that to him the first time. That means he never intended to give him the legacy of Avram, and he never intended to bestow upon him title to Eretz Yisrael. So the Sforno deduces from that, what are the brachas that he did get? B'tal HaShemayim, Mishmanei Ya'aretz, Abigvil HaChecho, that in Parnosa you'll be successful, the agriculture will work well for you, militarily you'll be secure and mighty, you'll hold the upper hand over your enemies. Brochas of Olam Hazeh, important brochas, but brochas of Olam Hazeh. Ruchnius, he didn't breathe a word of Ruchnius. The Ruchnius, the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, was to be in the hands of Yaakov Avinu. That was clear. Listen, there are two sons. One's a Shana Yid and one's a Goyin. So who's in charge? There's nothing to talk about. But what did he want? Yitzchak had a chazayin. He had a vision. And his vision was that the Ruchnius in Klal Yisrael should be 100% net. Net 100. Not 80, not net 70, not net 60, net 100. How are you going to have net 100 ruchnias? I mean, there's a world that has to go on. It's true, you want to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn, yeah, but there is a world. There people have to support themselves. There has to be a society, there has to be money, there has to be security, there has to be power, there are all types of things that have to take place around this hope. So, he had a very simple plan, a chazon. That Esav will take care of all the temporal matters, and that's it. And Yaakov Avinu will be 100% net ruchnius. That's it. No distractions. The only problem was that he didn't realize the extent of the depth of the evil streak of Esav. And Rivka disagreed with him. She had a different read on Esav. And she said, with an Esav in charge, they'll swallow up all the Ruchnias. There won't be any Ruchnias. That's all that's going to be, is Esav. I say that someone told me in the name of Rav Elya Lapian, that Rav Elya Lapian said that a person whose entire focus is materialism, Olam Hazeh, cannot be a partner with someone in Ruchnias. A partner for a person in Ruchnias is a person that has his own spirit, he has a spiritual agenda, but that's not his exclusive agenda in life. He has other things he does too, that's fine. He can be a partner because he has an appreciation and respect ultimately for the life of the Ruchnias, the spirituality. So he can be a partner with a person that's Kula Ruchnias. But a person that his entire scope is Olam Hazeh, he can't be a Shutif in Ruchnias. It will never work. That's what Elya Lapian's perspective on this. And the Hashgacha Elyona Paskin, that Rivka was right. There's a very strange Pasuk, and on the surface of it, the Pasuk makes no sense at all. Yaakov Avinu is afraid. You know, there are people that are brazen in this world. And sometimes, by being brazen, you succeed. Sometimes. Sometimes, though, you fail miserably. You know, that's the price of taking that, of making a brazen move. If you get away with it, you score big. If you don't get away with it, they beat on you big. So Yaakov says to Rivka, this is not a good deal. Because if Yitzchak catches on to me, and he almost did catch on to him, that if Yitzchak catches on to me, he's going to give me a klala. You come here, you have the chutzpah to come to try to steal brochas, to deceive your father and take brochas. I wind up with a klala. So she gives him an answer, alai kelelos chavani. You know, halavai would be such a thing in the world. You buy klala protection, you know, you go, that's it, you know, you have all types of insurance, so you'll have another guy, he has a sign, Olai Kila Loscha, you know, if anyone curses you for something that you did, so that's it, you know, pay $1,000 fee, and in case you get a curse, it'll go on me, do business, but the problem is that you can't run such a business, there's no basis for it. If a person or Olena gets a klala that he deserves, it's a problem, you can't sell it to somebody else. So what does she tell him? Olai kila los chobani. So the Targum says, Olai kila los chobani means that I know b'nevuah that you're not going to get a klola. I take responsibility because I have a nevuah that there will be no klola. So it means the hashkocha yoyin paskin that Rivka was right. The chazayin, the vision of Yitzchak, was correct, but in a different context. Yaakov Avinu carried it out with Yisachar and Zvula. Why? Because as Rashi says in Parshas Bamidbar, Zvulun was great in Torah. It was from the three greatest Shvatim in Torah, he says. Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. That's what Rashi says. In the end of Parshas Bamidbar. These are the three greatest Shvatim. Bachaynim Olov talks about the ones that were on the Mizrach. The Degla was on the Mizrach and were near Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the three greatest Shvatim in Torah. He was a Seicher. He wasn't, you know, 20 hours a day in the Beis Medrash. But he could be a Shutif with a Zvulun, with a Yisachar. He understood what it means, a Pistola and Shas. He had a Tam in it, a big Tam. So, since his children was Mitosar Shleima, all followed in the Derech and the legacy of Avraham Avinu, so amongst his children, he could enact such a scenario. This was the chazayin of Yitzchak. But it was actualized by Yaakov Avinu. When Yitzchak wanted to actualize it, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, here it's not going to go. It's a step too far. It's the wrong partner. That can't be. Now, this is an important notion. Because we have a pasuk at the beginning of Bala Yisrael. We want to understand Chanukah. We need to understand the menorah. What was the menorah? And there are many different things that the Maror was. We'll come back to it. Not today. I don't think. Maybe we'll get to it today. But the Gemara says in Shabbos, that's maybe where we'll get to, that a reitz lahasha, if you want to make money, is yatzpen. When you daven, you should face a little bit tilted to the north. Why? Sha'a shulchan b'tzofen. The lechem aponim represented parnosa, the broch of parnosa. A reitz lahachkim, if you want to become wise and understand Torah, is yadrim. Tilt a little to the south. Sha'a menorah b'dorim. The menorah represents Torah. We'll come to that. Now, the Sforno writes at the beginning, since the menorah that we have on Hanukkah is really dugmas, it's similar to the menorah of the Mishkan, that's what it's to commemorate. So we need to understand the menorah of the Mishkan and the Migdash, what it was. If we understand that, that will give us insight into what Hanukkah is. At the beginning of Parshas Balo Yischo, we have the following. Bahalo Yischo is Amenoiro, El Mul Pnei Amenoiro Yeru Shivas Aneiros. And the Sforno renders, what does it mean, El Mul Pnei Amenoiro Yeru Shivas Aneiros? What is the meaning of that phrase? It's a difficult phrase to translate, very hard. If you wanted to translate it into a declarative sentence, it would be very hard. The Sforno renders it in this fashion. It says, the menorah had three branches on the right side and three on the left, and a central column. It says, the ones on the right represent the oiskim b'chayei olam, the people who work in this world. Ruchnius. That's what they're involved with. They're not involved with the world of business. And that's, in fact, the Chazal, the rendering, Eirich Yomim B'mino, are those people that are Oiskin B'chayei Olam. Oisher B'kovod B'smoylo means that those people that are also Oiskin B'chayei Olam. B'chayei Shoh. So this is the three branches on the left-hand side of the Nur represented Oiskin B'chayei Shoh. Most of Klal Yisrael, people involved in agriculture, business, trade, etc. All the functions that are necessary in a country. There are three on one side and three on the other side. And what's their function? El Mul Pnei HaMenorah. They have to be focused on the seventh, on the central column. And what was the central column? The central column was that which the Rabbeinu Shalom wants to be achieved in this world. Right? The Rabbeinu Shalom wants, there's a measure of Kiddush Hashem that we're to bring by living in a society which represents the full values of Klal Yisrael. An ethical life, a spiritual life, a compassionate life, the life of Torah. All of these things are all in total what Klal Yisrael is. And to produce that effect in the world, no single group can produce. It's only if we blend together the Oiskim B'chayei Olam and the Oiskim B'chayei Shoh, both of them together can produce the society which is El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yeru Shivas Aneiros, which reflects that which the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Kiddush Hashem that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants in this world. This is the Sparta Rabbi said. So the menorah represents the joining together, the unity in effect of all the forces, of all the brachas of Klal Yisrael. It's only Bein Kulonu that we can fulfill the rotzen of the Rabbi Shalom. It's at every level true. It's at the level of mitzvahs true. Rameya Simcha explores this in Parashas Yisro. That no person could do Tayag Mitzvahs. There's no such a Bria in this world. Why not? It's very simple. I would like to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. I only have one little problem. I'm not a Kohen. So all of that is close to me. I can't go up in the duchen and give birchas kayanim. It says I'm over by say if I try that, you know. So I have, when they do the duchen, I have to run down from the duchen and go someplace else. I was up there before and I have to run down when the kayanim come. So all the mitzvahs akahuna, I can't do. But Elliot, a pig in a ben, you're never going to make. Das nicht. Not happening. So nobody can do all the Taryag mitzvahs. So how do we do Taryag mitzvahs? So Ramea Simcha says there are two ways that we do Taryag mitzvahs. One is in Parshas Yisroel. Vayan kolom yachto vayanuko vayan kolom yachto vayomru kol asher dibur Hashem nasa. Vayanu kolom yachto vayomru kol asher dibur Hashem nasa. All of Klal Yisrael together can fulfill the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah collectively. I do my part, you do your part. Listen, you know, certain things are particular. You know, one boost, there are mitzvahs which pertain to the farmer. If you're not a farmer, you don't have those mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs which pertain to people that deal with animals. You know, shechting, etc. They have their mitzvahs. And as we go through each sphere of life, there are different mitzvahs. So not everyone is involved in every sphere of life to do all the mitzvahs. He's involved in his particular sphere, what he does. You know, we have a moel, he never shechted an animal. We have a shelichad, he never did a bris. Each one in their own thing, they're important, but they don't do everything. But collectively, we do all the mitzvahs. And then Rameya Simcha says there's another way. And that is of Nasa v'Nishma and Parshas Mishpatim, that through a combination of Mice and Talmud Torah, so I can get credit as if I did all Tayyar. But nobody could actually do Tayyar. So if we're to blend, if we understand the necessity of putting Klal Yisrael together, so that means that we have to start off that we have a Derech Eretz, respect for each other. No, there are different drachim and avodas Hashem, and the Rabbeinu Shalom loves all of them. And it's only if we each respect the derech of avoda, a sincere and derech of avoda of others, so that we can have a klal Yisrael. There are people that are Islam b'chayei olam, they're removed from chayei shal. There are people that are not removed from chayei olam, but their chayei shal plays a big role in their life. They're all good Jews. But we have to respect each other. That each one is making, you know, a contribution which lends to the greater whole. More than any of us could do on our own. So this, according to the Sforno, was the symbolism of the Menorah. It's one level of the symbolism of the Menorah. It was the joining together of Klal Yisrael. Now, that happens to me, it's very interesting, because some Sefer writes, it's relevant to us today, and I've talked about this before, and I realize that it's relevant to what took place at Hanukkah too. When we achieve the end of the Menorah, ultimately, when we're focused on its lesson, and we absorb the lesson of the Menorah, its impact, it's not surprising that we merited to be able to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. Sam Sofer writes, I spoke about this in Eretz Sam Sofer in a couple of places in Eretz Yisrael, and it made sense. There were big hedim, as they say. It reverberated. And everyone wanted to know what Amar Malkum was. I said, I can't answer you. I have the Sofer upstairs in my office in America, and I marked the page when I saw it. It was so remarkable. I've told you this before. Sam Sofer writes that the Novi Yirmiya writes in the parasha of Rochel Muvakol B'nei Akol B'Rom Onishma. So there were two psukim, one after the other. And you know, I read them, in fact, many, many years ago in Yeshiva from the Klaf on Rosh Hashanah. And as they tumble off your tongue, you wonder exactly what the two psukim mean. The first one says, Reshavu Me'eretz Oyev. And the very next pasuk says, Reshavu Vonim L'Gvulam. So what are these two things? What's with Shovel Meir, it's Oyev, and what's with Shovel Vonim Legvulam? And the Chassam Sofer, there are things that I see when you see sometimes, even from the Gedolei Achreinim, that you see that they had a measure of Ruach HaKodesh. There's just no other way that they could have understood certain things. Chassam Sofer died approximately 175 years ago. Yet Chassam Sofer describes the era in which we live and what goes on in Eretz Yisrael exactly. Exactly. He says, "Veshovu me'eretz oyev," means that before the advent of Mashiach, there will be a huge gathering of Jews, Alad Mas HaKodesh. That's where Shovel Meretz will come back from foreign countries. They're going to live in Alad Mas HaKodesh in Eretz Yisrael. But what's going to be lacking? What's going to be lacking is the Shechinah openly at the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's going to be lacking. And that's the Veshovu Bonim Legvulam, is Legvula Ketusha, to the Gvul of the Mikdash. So, in between these two psukim is exactly where we are. And the Chassam Sofer wrote this 175 years ago, that this is the way it's going to be. That's what the Novi means. And here we're living it. So among the things that we have to do, that the Chassam Sofer writes, so what do we have to do to get from step one to step two? So, Yehi Bishurin Melech, V'Asif Rosh Hayom, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Yachad doesn't mean we're the same. We never believed, and no rational person should ever believe, that everyone should be the same. A world where everyone's the same is a world that so cannot exist, will self-destruct. You know, it's good to have doctors. If the whole world were doctors, where would we live? In the street? Nobody would build a building. There wouldn't be anything to eat. You know, we'd have good medical care, but there wouldn't be a hospital to give it in. There would be nobody to make a CAT scan machine because nobody would know electronics. So the world only exists because we have the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave people different neshamas that find satisfaction with different types of work. And consequently, we bring forth all the types of things. Yeah, one guy builds buildings, and one guy puts in the electric, and one guy puts in the plumbing. And another guy produces the food, and another guy makes sure we're healthy. You know, so all together we have a society. But someone will be, and Chazal always emphasizes to atol shvotim and klal yisrael, each with a different purpose, with a different bracha. Not the same. Not one was the same as the other. Yeah, at the end, they all share to some measure, the Mefarshim say, in the brachas of each, but that's share. But their principal identity is in terms of the major bracha that was given to them. Chazal tell us in Yam Suf, we went through 12 shvot, each shaved at its own avodah. That we never wanted that our people should come out of a cookie cutter. There's a wide range of how to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's when we put all of those together, is Bis'asif Rosh Hayom, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, then it's Vayi Bishurin Melech. Now we could ask for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to be Melech. And this they used to write in Kelum on Rosh Chodesh Elul every year. They hung a sign in the yeshiva in Kelum. And the sign said the following, that 1 month hence we're going to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch on Rosh Hashanah. So he says, what is the ultimate problem for a king? The ultimate problem for a king, which most threatens his Malucha, is if there's a schism in the population. If the population is divided, then his Malchus tatters. If the Malchus is united, then he could have a kingdom. So they wrote in the sign in Kelum Yeshiva, Talmud Torah of Kelum, that we have to work on Achdus, because if there's no Achdus, how could we be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch on Rosh Hashanah? So it's not surprising then when we live, we absorb the lesson of the Menorah, as the Sforno tells us, that this is the unity of Klal Yisrael, that we were Zeicha to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. So this is an important notion that Baruch Hanukkah, one that we don't look deeply enough at the menorah and its lesson, or lessons, to appreciate. There's another take, which is no less significant, which is more well known. I heard it yet as a child, and it's stuck in my memory. And many years later, I was learning the Netziv at the beginning of Parshas Baloischa. and I found it. The Netziv writes the following, that what's the symbolism, and it's, this is not the Netziv, I'm sure that it's much, much older, it's classical than the Netziv. I saw it in the Netziv, but I don't believe it's the Netziv. I believe it probably existed long, long before the Netziv, this notion. That the branches of the menorah represent all the chokhmah of the world. Chazal were big believers in chokhmah. Yesh chokhmah b'umas time. The non-Jewish world has a great deal of chokhmah. And we're to respect that chokhmah and to learn and study that chokhmah. Learn from that chokhmah. Utilize that chokhmah. But all of it is almul p'nei ha-menorah, yayiru shivas ha-neiros. The ultimate purpose of all the chokhmahs in the world, it means there's many purposes, but the ultimate purpose is to illuminate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. And that's Amul Pnei HaMenorah, the central column is the Torah, and it's to illuminate the Torah. And if a person doesn't know mathematics well, I wish my trig were better. Unfortunately, it's long forgotten, my trig. You know, the algebra I still know, the geometry, schwachemaisis, but the trig is totally gone from me. Now that's a loss. Why? Because to understand the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Rambam, I'm going to have to know the trig. So I'm going to have to study the trig again. I mean, the Chazon Ish is so safer, is so complex, that A from math professor wrote a work on it to explain it, what the Chazon Ish was talking about in Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Chazon Ish, it's very interesting. So he wrote out his calculations, he did the equations, and he made his calculations. When he finished, he told his Talmidim that the papers that he used to make the calculations have to put into Shemus. You can't throw them out. Why? Because since these calculations were to understand Torah, even though they're just about a pile of mathematical computations, not a word of Torah there other than that, but they have Kedushas HaTorah, because they illuminated the Torah. So the ultimate, there are many purposes, and they're all legitimate purposes in their soul. What is the ultimate purpose of all the Chochmah in the world? That we should understand the Torah. And that's, again, one of the supreme lessons, and one that's long been emphasized in Hanukkah, that in all the complexity that we see in this world, to realize that it comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and ultimately its ultimate purpose is to the extent that it illuminates the Derech Hashem and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. That's the ultimate accomplishment of all the Chochmas in the world. And this really was what was our dispute with Yovan. We were not against the science of Yovan. There are people that made tremendous, I mean, I can't begin to fathom the chokhmah that was there. If I got up and I said, Rabbi Yisai, I would like to know how long a year is, but I don't want any pat answers to the question. I want you to prove to me how long the year is. It would seem to be a pretty daunting problem. You know, if you have the Hubble Space Telescope, there's all types of mathematical calculations, and you know how the orbit of the Earth and its position to the sun. So probably in all of that, we have enough information to calculate, you know, how it works. True. But no, what you have, I want you to go home and I want you to prove to me how long a year is. Would seem a pretty daunting challenge. And yet, the Greeks figured it out. Shadows, and when the shadow returns, and, oh, this a tremendous chokhmah. They figured it out. They began the process of the really of what we know today of the scientific inquiry. Maybe there were others before them, but our legacy is from what they began with. So our dispute was not with their chokhmah. Chazal stated, Yesh Chachma Boom is time. Don't deny that it's Chachma. But where does the Chachma go? In Yavur, it was an end to itself. And we said all the Chachma reflects the Rabbeinu Shalom. That was the dispute. So therefore, the menorah of all the things was in fact exactly the place that in the miracle of the Nes of Hanukkah takes place. Because that was the lesson of the menorah. That all the Chochmah of the world, what's its purpose, its goal, its tachlis, is to illuminate the Torah, the Derech Hashem. That's its ultimate tachlis. If you leave that part out, that's it, you got it. So, we have the insight in Hanukkah at a lot of different levels. Insight in Hanukkah in terms of the drawing together, the necessity of drawing together in Klal Yisrael. And what was the Avla of Bayis Sheni? The Avla of Bayis Sheni was Sinas Chinam. So that's obviously, that's what threatened the Migdash earlier than the time it was destroyed. Hanukkah gave us a focus somewhat on pulling back together in Klal Yisrael. And that gave chias to the second half of the Migdash. So we understand full well why, what took place, why the menorah was so central to the restoration of the Migdash. It also addressed the fundamental cultural issue of the time, the differences between Klal Yisrael and Yavam. And I've often stated, there's no doubt the ultimate artistic accomplishment of Klal Yisrael was the menorah. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam made it, whatever, but in terms of what we possess, the ultimate artistic artifact was the menorah, without any doubt. That's what it was about. And that was also prophetic. Because art, beauty, aesthetics, these are Greek values. And what did the menorah state? As Rashi cites in the Parshiyos in Shmos, which deal with the construction of the Mishkan, La'ilam dehi adam chos ala yafa. We should always be concerned with aesthetics. Aesthetics is not to be dismissed. But the aesthetics has a tachlis. It's to connect us, to inspire us in our connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What does the Sefer HaChinuch write? When one walks in, I have a special feeling, I have to tell you. Whenever I come to Yerushalayim and I observe the walls of the old city, there's a certain majesty that I feel. That majesty, how majestic it is a mikzah of a mikzah of what the majesty of the Beis HaMikdash itself was. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that why was it so majestic? When one walks into a house of Hashem as majestic as the Mikdash, it makes us feel very humble in that majesty. And that's the atmosphere in which we can do tshuva and draw closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So that's what the majesty of the Migdash was designed to do, was to humble us, so that we would find the ability within ourselves to do tshuva and come close to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So that's the Yofi. We said, yeah, there is Yofi. But Yofi has a purpose. Yofi is ultimately, the aesthetics is to connect us to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Aesthetics in the Western world is to connect the person with himself. You know, it's man's higher calling. It's not just his base physical pleasures. He appreciates something beauty, something beyond and above his, you know, normal self. But that's where it ends. It's a story of what the human being is. Not a story of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. aesthetics for us is ultimately a story of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's something that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us to use in this world, which can help us to connect with Him. So these are a number of the themes of Hanukkah. So before we begin the exploration of the halachas, we need to consider what the lighting of the menorah symbolizes. It certainly is the intention and of what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to achieve and the nisim that He did for us. So this is where we start. As Hashem, in coming weeks we'll go on to the halachas, but today I wanted to give a perspective what Hanukkah is. May the Ribbono Shel Olam grant that just as He did Nisim for us, there were some, in fact, that had that text, some Rishonim, Tosis brings it, that had a text in Ala Nisim, that just as the Ribbono Shel Olam did Nisim for us at the time of Hanukkah, He should do Nisim for us today too. Some have that, in fact, and it's not an odd text in Ala Nisim, but Rishonim, in fact, have such a text. And that's Yisayda B'Kodesh. Because Hanukkah and Purim are both, since the times of Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, a mesugel for Yeshua's. So it means tefillah is particularly efficacious in the times of Hanukkah and Purim. So Mamela, that was the context of those Rishonim that learned, that had that in the Alarism, just as the Ribbono Shel Olam did Nisim for us, and Mamela, it's indicative that it's an Eis Rotzen before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we seize the moment that we must Palo to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam that He should do Nisim for us similarly in our present time, and we should be Zeicha to see Yeshua's Befrat, Bechlal, Beriver.
Amen.
The synthesis of all Jews, though, at Hanukkah, wasn't there?
Yeah, I want to get rid of that.